It's 27 minutes to 12, a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Can't believe, nearly 27 minutes.
To, it always flies on live radio.
It does, it really does. So let's get into our, unfortunately, our last person in the studio.
Save the best for last, though?
Well, absolutely. I don't want people to hear that, but yes, no, we do. It's really great to have a person who really has lived and breathed a business, and particularly the challenges of COVID. And I'm really interested to find out how this has taken place, particularly with regards to events and how to operate and make them fruitful and so on. Cecilia Wouters, thank you for joining us from Events Outsourced.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about you. Where did you grow up? What's happened? And so on in the first part of the journey of your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I grew up in Wilberforce. I went to school in the local area. I actually went into university or private college and studied advertising to start off with. I was in media for about a year and decided there wasn't really enough variety in there for me, and thought I'd actually look at going into events. So I went into events, did the step into events before I did the paperwork side of things, and then finished off the diploma as I was working along the way. So I started off with children's entertainment, looking after the marketing managers of the shopping centres, doing things like Dora the Explorer shows, those kind of things, and then moved more into corporate, which is where I am now.
And obviously you enjoy, your eyes and your demeanour says that you love doing what you're doing.
I do. I really do love events. I love the variety. I love helping people. I know that's a very cliche thing, but I do love helping people. And just really being able to see that connection that events can create, and helping people to have that cohesion with others. I found, especially during COVID, that was what people were missing, was that connection. So.
And I think what you bring to the table as well is the whole refinement to give what people really want, that buzz, that bang, whatever word you use to give that excitement, isn't it? I think that's critical.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you can do the same event year on year, but if you do it exactly the same each time, it loses that buzz, as you say, and you start losing audience. So each event, there's always something that you can improve on. There's never no such thing as a perfect event. So it's all about looking at the event, how it went, what went well, what didn't go so well, and how you can really create more interaction in the next event.
And that's a question I've got on events. And I worked at a medical research institute, not-for-profit, and they had large gala events, which seemed to be less of a thing, especially with COVID, and we'll talk a bit about that. But if you have an event that, say, was a bit flat, but it might be in a kind of recipe model that they've used for a few years, how would you, as someone coming in with fresh eyes, look to see to, say, supercharge that for the next time? COVID side, but just generally, I'm very intrigued.
Absolutely. Look, the first thing that you would do is to look back on the feedback. So, you know, your attendees are the ones that are there, they're the ones that are experiencing it. And so you would go back through and do things like reviews, and also just asking them for their opinion on what they think could work well. You'll get a really big mixture of answers within that, and you sort of pick and choose from there and look at how you can use that feedback in order to build on the next year. And also just looking at it from a fresh set of eyes. Often if you've been doing an event for 6, 7, 8 years, you start to get a little bit stale. So it's a matter of looking outside of your event and looking at what others might be doing, what other technologies might have come across the line while you were busy in your event, and looking at what you can pull together and use to bring that wow factor back.
I think there's a great number of topics we can talk about there, and I think it does come into what we've all experienced in the last year, and we went to a point where we couldn't have people in the studio and had to ring them by phone or other sort of technologies. But for events, it's gone through much similar thing, and we're all common with Zoom now. It's like the new Google is, we'll Zoom you. And it's so much that sometimes people go, I'll have a Zoom with you. I go, well, what about the good old telephone? Anyhow, but in the events industry, have you found the last year being as far as issues but also opportunities?
Yeah, look, I won't lie, it's been really tough. I think it was the Friday the 13th of March. It's sad that I can remember that date. But that was the day that they said to us, nothing over 500 in terms of events. Now, we do a lot of large-scale events, so that killed all of those. But it also killed some of the smaller community-type events that we do as well, because everyone sort of ran scared. So it's had a huge huge impact. I still remember spending that entire weekend just sitting there going, all right, that's it, we're not going under, this is, we, there has to be a solution here, we need to find something that we can do. So we actually came up with an online system for our community events that we do for a couple of large developers. So we ran online events, so things like kids arts and crafts, adults yoga, gardening classes, all of those sorts of things. They were all run on Zoom, so that people could still learn the things that they would be learning in the in-person events, but that they could actually do that online and also have that opportunity to connect with others in their community while they were doing it. So,
are people now used to Zoom in your mind?
Yes, so we had towards that worked really well until everybody was quote unquote let out again last year.
Yeah.
And I found that at that stage, a lot of people were Zoom fatigued and they were still not at the stage where they could go back to in-person events, but they were just really over online. And I think that's where the hybrid model has sort of grown, especially into 2021. You know, 2020 was very much, do we cancel, do we postpone, that you are only two options, whereas in 2021 we're finding a lot more with clients that it's, look, we're going to go ahead, but now we just need to look at a plan A and a plan B depending on the health conditions.
Sounds amazing. I think we might be going to a short break and we'll come back, because what I want to ask you after our little break is looking at that whole area of some of the wonderful moments that you've been able to create for people without saying who it is, but some of the wonderful things you sit back, you know, after a big function at 1 o'clock in the morning and everyone's gone and you go, that was worth it.
After the break, you're here on Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim Darren.
Alive 90.5. Proud sponsors Linden Electric have been best in class since 1977, providing unparalleled electrical expertise in commercial, industrial and laboratory solutions. This dynamic family-run team prides themselves on over 43 years worth of client-focused results based on their core values of quality, safety and integrity. Linden Electric, experts in electrical, 9890 9663 or email james@linden.net.au for a booking. Station sponsor.
It's 16 minutes to 12, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren. And in the studio with us is Celia Wouters, the owner and events director of Events Outsourced. And we have been talking a lot about events, and particularly with COVID. And I'd like to focus on something I'm seeing a lot of at the moment, Celia, and no doubt you are as well and can share with us, is this hybrid model. Now we've been let back out, like you said before, and now it's, I think, 2 square meter rule, not the 4 square meter rule, so things are changing. But some people are thinking, well, I want to get the biggest event, so I'm going to this hybrid where I have some in a room and some online, Zoom or whatever. What are your thoughts? Is it working? What do people need to look for?
I think some of them are working and some of them are bombing abysmally. So it's a matter of really considering a lot of factors. It's not just, you can't just take the event that you were going to do in person, put it online and hope for the best. It doesn't work that way. So things like looking at your event objectives and your stakeholder expectations. So walking through the event as if you were there, as if you were an online participant and as if you were an in-person participant, and looking to see what they're getting out of it. You know, are they sitting there just looking at a screen, or are they actually interacting and getting things out of it? So things like your sponsors may have been given banners in your in-person event. How are they then being portrayed online? Have you got other opportunities for them to keep them engaged and to make sure that you are meeting their expectations? And things like the audience as well. So you've got your online audience and you've got your in-person audience at a hybrid event. A lot of the time people still focus, because they're so used to the in-person events, they're still focusing on that in-person crowd. And the group that are online at home might just be sitting there, and often it's a little bit like watching TV. So there isn't, you know, there's no interaction. You are literally just watching faces talk to you on a screen.
So if they were just watching TV, it might be best to actually, say, record the main event and play back at a different time.
Absolutely.
The event you did, or you really... What I'm hearing, you've got to look after your online crowd as well.
Absolutely. You've got to look at ways that both the in-person crowd and the online group can have that form and that cohesion together. So things like polls, question and answer segments, moving them into breakout rooms with a mix of online and in-person participants, just really making them feel like they're part of the event. So they're not just sitting there watching a TV.
That was going to be a question as well, if I may, Jim, before I'll go back to you. But how do you get that engagement between the online group, so to say, and or audience, and the audience that's in a room? How do you actually get them to engage with each other, or is it nigh impossible?
They do engage with each other. Using things like polls and question and answer segments allows them both to get involved, especially if you put that little bit of extra money in terms of having a roving camera and things like that, so that the online people can actually see the person that's in the audience asking the question. And the same goes the other way around, so that the in-person audience can see the face and the voice.
That's true, because normally you're in a room, you might be able to just look and see, okay, that's Celia asking the question, and I can look at them, but the online people, if they're just looking at the MC nodding their head, then that's going to be pretty boring, isn't it?
Exactly, and there's nothing worse than having a question and answer segment where the online group can hear the question but the in-house group can't, and so that suddenly the speaker starts answering a question that they didn't actually hear the question itself. So and there's other things that you can do as well, such as sending things out to their homes. So we've done a couple of events where we've sent them a grazing pack to enjoy while they're on the session. If you've got catering for your in-house people, then you might want to send catering to the house and have in the break sessions. We've just been chatting with a client about this yesterday, actually, having the break sessions, not just for the online people, not just being, all right, we'll go back to air in 10 minutes. So having things like mindfulness sessions during that time, exercise sessions, or even just allowing them the opportunity to go into smaller breakout rooms. They've got their lunch, the people that are in person have their lunch, and everyone can just be chatting away like they usually would if they were out in the foyer of the conference room.
That's really amazing. I love the name of your business, Events Outsourced. I think that's a really, really clever name for what you do.
Thank you.
Do you cover all types of events? I mean, from weddings to events to... What's your areas of specialty or that you really like doing?
We cover all types of corporate events, so
corporate
business
events.
Okay. So we don't do weddings, we don't do the sort of social grandma's 50th birthday.
Right.
But we do all types of conferences, road shows, incentive trips, exhibitions, basically anything, special events, so gala dinners, that kind of thing, anything that's based on, that a business is running, pretty much.
That's interesting because, again, from a marketing point of view, you're very strategic about the market that you're in. I find it absolutely fantastic. You play an amazing role, Cecilia.
Thank you.
Well, businesses can grow as a result of getting the right information, getting the right execution for their business, and it's a crowded market, the business world. You need to get out there and tell your story. That's what, when we're in business, critical to do that. And on behalf of Darren and myself, we're absolutely delighted that you've been able to join us this morning and tell us what you do with Events Outsource. So we wish you all the best, particularly in challenging times. Are you positive for the future?
We are, yeah. Things are starting to pick up again now. So it's, you know, especially with the New South Wales not going into sudden lockdowns like some of the other states, it's been good. It'll be good once the borders start to go back to normal, that will be better, because we've got a few clients that need to do national events that they're still a bit nervous about, but it's a matter of, you know, going along with those hybrid style events. Ideally they'd love to have everyone in the one room, but we work with what we can with the health guidelines.
Final question for you, Celia, if
sure.
I may, and allow Jim to wrap up, but with events, things always go wrong. What's a good story you can share with our listeners of something that went wrong but you're able to fix up with a minimal fuss, like a duck swimming, you know, duck feet type thing? You're the duck feet.
Yes. One of my previous bosses actually used to call me the duck. You know, on top of the water, you're sailing along lovely. Oh, yes, everything's
That's
wonderful.
The one.
It's all
yeah.
good. And underneath, those little feet are going really fast. So I guess it would be... There's always something that goes wrong with an event. I remember when I was back in, you know, the children's entertainment days, the big heads that they wear. Sorry, don't tell your kids. But the big heads that they wear have like a helmet strap inside. And we'd gotten to the event. We were in the middle of Dubbo, I think, at the stage, and there was no strap inside. You can't do a show without the head on, without the head with a strap, because it will automatically fall off. So it was just a matter of looking at, you know, that's part of being an event manager, is being able to solve those things with whatever you've got around you. So I think we used a bag strap in the end for that particular event. Wonderful. But yeah, it's just being able to think on your feet, I guess.
And that's, you know, thanks for sharing that with us. It brings a real human touch to us. On behalf of Darren and myself and Spotlight 90.5, thank you so much for being with us in the studio. We wish you all the very best now and in the future with your company, Events Outsourced.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for having me.
Have a great day.
We sounded the same when we said
that.
Oh, we do.
Bit of song and we'll be back to wrap up.
Alive 90.5.